Howdy, partners, and welcome to the Howdy Partners podcast, where we give you tactical insights so that you can do your job better in partnerships. Today's guest is Alicia. You may have seen her on LinkedIn. She is a LinkedIn influencer in the partnership space, and her and I chatted before. But Alicia, why don't you introduce yourself? What are you doing? Where are you at?
First off, I want to say thank you to you guys for inviting me to this podcast. It is my first time ever on a podcast, so this is kind of exciting. Currently I kind of hold a position as a partnerships manager at AfterSell, where I am kind of responsible to overseeing a lot of the partnership side. My role involves kind of like building partner programs, which I just recently launched, which I'm pretty excited about, establishing some of the solid foundation, implementing efficient system, I would call it. Although there was some, I guess, groundwork that was kind of done and it was in place, but I'm here to really just make sure that they're in progress and refining those systems and have a smoother workflow.
I love it. And I see if you look at, you know, Alicia's LinkedIn, you'll see that she's also an advisor of sorts. So she's very knowledgeable. She's sought after. And so what we're going to talk about today is you started about 2 to 3 months or so ago in this role. We're going to talk about how that's been. And what I'm curious about is when you started, what did you do on day one as the new partner manager at AfterSell?
So that's a very good question. Honestly, there was a lot, or at least a ton and extensive onboarding. I think that's like the first thing that you would be doing and really understanding the product features. So I kind of received like a tremendous support from one of our co-founders, Armand, who kind of guided me through the entire product journey. It's a lot, right? They come through from the tech side, so they really just discuss that. So throughout that whole week, of my main focus was kind of like immersing myself into learning and I guess becoming familiarized with our product features. I think as a partnership, you really got to understand your product before going through the next steps by selling it or really just telling your partners what exactly we're doing so that it makes sense into their service. Does it, you know, can we do some integration, implementation, or just, you know, any partnerships of that sort. So a lot of that. And then really just joining my team, my sales team, and kind of observe their call where they kind of conduct demos, like further enhancing my understanding on the product in action. So that way I can do that the same for our partners.
So it's funny. In the two partnership roles that I had, they were both very different because when I started at Vidyard, I'd previously worked on, you know, the service agency side. So I was at a HubSpot agency and I knew the Vidyard product, which was unique in the sense that when I joined Vidyard, it made it very easy for me, like, oh, I know the product. Like, I don't need to necessarily go through product training. And then fast forward to starting at SaaS Labs, like, didn't know the product. So just two unique journeys. But I think it was hard for me just having some of the partnership experience and knowing that I was coming in to help kind of build this program out to really, like, put the chains around me and hold me down, like get me through the HR stuff, get me through the onboarding. So I'm curious, like how did you, it's hard to find focus. So like, I guess, are there any tips or aspects where it's like, Alicia, how do you stay focused on what you're doing? It's day one, it's week one. You know, how do you not get so overwhelmed if you have that experience before to start saying, I know what we're going to do? Like, just break that down for me.
That's a really good question. I have had a lot of like you said, you've done in two different SaaS companies before. I've also had the same problem with that being said, agencies as well. And a lot of time during boarding, it is the most tiring week ever. But with AfterSell, I'm not sure what was it that was different was that they had everything prepared for me. Like they nice. Knew what they needed to show us because I think that's exactly, they look at me as like a customer. If I came in, I needed to understand what AfterSell was all about. So they had the proper demo, they had the proper presentation. It didn't felt like those proper HR where you came in, you need to go through this and that, and there's a deck you go through all by yourself. It was co-founders themselves coming into hand and, you know, get their hands dirty and make sure that I really knew what I was doing. So that was really nice. I felt great. And that's where I felt like there are certain things that for sure it's missing, right? Because it came in, they really tell you exactly how they would present it to a customer. So I would kind of help them build that flow in that sense, like whenever newer onboarding and newer members that join us, we'll have to go through this and that. And also making sure that we add a certain thing so that they're aware of what to expect, right? So I came in really just all products. The whole week was all about products. And I was like, hey, it's actually not that bad. You know, I totally forgot about the Shopify partners. You need to go into the depth. And it's just being a backend tech, I'm like, I am losing my mind. I'm not sure what. I was like, help me, guys. But the team was so friendly. And my question was like, how do I see it? I'm like, I'm so sorry if this is a really redundant question. But they're like, no, actually, I love this question. Just ask. So it's been great. Really ask the question, right? Whatever you have, even in partnerships in general, if you have problems, go to Tom, go to Will, like ask. They're happily just to respond, even if it takes a few days. They're just busy. But this is a great part of our partnership.
I agree. Yeah. Everyone is so connected. And that's how we got connected as well.
Yeah.
Alicia, where I forget who reached out, but we eventually talked about, you know, agencies, partnerships and all that. And here we are, you know, sharing even more knowledge across the podcast.
Exactly. Ecosystem. I love that.
And so you are 2 to 3 months in. What are you working on now? And I like asking this question because it gives people a gauge of, you know, what to expect in the role, but then also they can kind of not compare, but really understand, oh, I'm 2 to 3 months in the role. Where should I be? What should I be thinking about? What should I be working on? It's going to be different across most organizations. But now that you've got, you know, your feet under you with the product and all of that, maybe introductions to partners and you got some stuff going, what is it, the thing that you're working on now at month 2, month 3 or so? What's the next phase that you're entering into?
Yeah. So right now we've launched our agency partner program, which was, you know, awesome. We've successfully onboarded our existing partners and also the newer partners, right? So I want like focus on the lines of, like, I guess the guidelines, you know, especially when they go through those next steps, what would it be? Lunch to learn? Would it be going through our knowledge space? A lot of all these things, little details that we need them to understand before being an expert. So if they are an expert, so we want to make sure that they kind of go through at least complete, like a brief, like a short quiz. I believe Kendo and some people like Gorgeous has the same example. It's just really just to make sure that they are familiar with what we do, because those questions, even myself, when I took it, I was like, oh, I didn't know these. Like, this is something that is additional information. It's just going to help them to at least be certified. That's it. Right. So on top of that, I'm also kind of like actively sourcing additional agencies. I'm just going around here and there. I would say Twitter right now, surprisingly, is the next best place to find partners. I know, Will, it's not your, I don't know if you agree with me, but I don't know. It's just like a great place to find agency partners. Maybe that's one way, but I feel like tech partners are on there constantly too. So when you're seeing something or whatever, just like be on top of their thread, I guess, which don't want to misunderstand this whole thing. There is another app called Thread right now, which I am getting very confused, but that's one way that I'm keeping in touch with newer agency partners. They're aware, and you know, I get messages like, oh, you guys are actually very popular recently, you know, I love to chat, which is so much easier for me. And I would say another thing right now is the next phase, you call it, which is focusing on the co-marketing with tech partners, because we kind of focus on the agency side, the program, great, but a lot of the tech integration side, we have not really touched it, because we want to make sure that we're pretty, you know, kind of nail down, make sure it's solid on the agency side with a great system and flow. We're slowly getting into the tech. So with that, we're kind of like leveraging on platforms like Crossing, Reveal. We are also kind of like identifying those shared merchants and exploring like opportunities for cross-selling, right? Even on our app itself. And additional works are like developing compelling case studies, right? To showcase the value and our combined sort of offerings that we have and results, basically.
That's cool. That's a lot that you've got working on. But it sounds like the cadence was make sure you have some process in place to validate that they know about your company to a certain degree and that there mm-hmm. is some level of enablement available so that as you're starting to, you know, go to the Twitter find the agencies, bring them in, you're able to effectively onboard them. I have a quick question about the Twitter side of things, because I actually, when I was at Mailshake, I was like, oh, that's a good place for like smaller businesses and like outreach agencies. And there was like this niche community, and it was like this, I think it's called like the money community. And I'm wondering if that's like, it's, if it skews a bit to the like e-com agency world. What are your thoughts there? Is that like the persona that's there, or do you think that, you know, you could find tech partners or like MarTech partners?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually kind of come across a lot of the partners right now, even from tech perspective or agency. And I'm not too sure much on that side of things, whether if it's money skewed, but it's a lot of the, at least I'm hearing from tech partners itself, right? I've also heard from their advice was to make sure to be a little bit more active on there, because you will at some point find merchants that need you guys, but you're not there to help them out. So I feel like that's one way to kind of like navigate who our audiences are. So in terms of agency partners, yes, a lot of them are there to really help at educational stuff, their experiences, and aside from all these chaotic whatever's going on in there, but it's not, that's not what I'm for, but rather really connecting with a newer agencies that I've never come across before. Even on directories, you won't be able to find them. So these are little things that I find very useful. Aside from that, Twitter is just, oh gosh, I feel like I used to use it like when I was 12 years old. And now it's just like me talking about my day-to-day life, right? Right now, I'm just like, what am I talking about on Twitter? I don't know what to say. You know, whereas with LinkedIn, we know we're trying to be professional. We're sharing some insights, just like yourself, Will, and yourself, Tom. You know, you guys are just trying your best to really help other partners. So Twitter is a whole new world.
You've been scrappy enough to find your own channel. And this is where, you know, company to company, program maturity, you know, whether you're just starting or it's been in existence for 2 years, it shows the value of having, you know, new professionals join companies and say like, listen, this is where I'm finding value right now. And it seems like your role includes both like activation management, but also that acquisition side, which is important. So you're going to have to, it's so hard for partner professionals to try and be stretched in different areas. So like when you have critical roles underneath your, in your onus, like Twitter's working. So like stick there. And I think what it shouts out is like, when you get to that 2 to 3 month mark in a partnership role, it's kind of time to start seeing like the rubber hit the pavement type thing. Like, you know, this is where, you know, the background that I have and what I've known from being on the agency side, what I know from like process and operations and enablement that needs to be in place, you should know the product by that point. So now you start to develop your own hypotheses around how do we make this super worthwhile for partners, whether it's tech, agency, you know, affiliate, whatever it may be. But in the same time, you should always be thinking like, how do I make this as efficient as possible for myself so that I'm not just dead in the water 3 months later because I'm having so much manual activity, like I'm doing it myself. Like there's a lot to say about like advocating for a lot of internal enablement and internal understanding of what partnerships is, because there's so many departments, marketing, sales, CX, that play a significant role or should play a significant role in driving partnership success, that it's so important to like really focus on those areas. It seems like you've got a good rhythm now, but there has to be examples of like roadblocks, friction, heartache. So talk about some of those challenges and how do you approach overcoming those?
Yeah. So one of the key tasks in hand right now, right, is delivering product features demos, right? As like you said, I've already probably familiarized with the product and whatnot, but I have not gone out and be like, hey, Will and Tom, this is the product. I'm going to show you and showcase that to you. And I did that with the first partner of the day itself, or the first or the third week of my, you know, my role. And it was really nerve-wracking because, you know, first off, you're trying to make sure that you're doing the right thing. Yeah. I had nobody around me and just making sure that I was saying the right thing and I was pinpointing the right features and they make sense. But again, most partners, you don't need to go through the detailed part because they're not the client-facing team or the tech team. But I would like to use this opportunity to be like, hey, by the way, I know this and I know that, and I want you to at least know a little bit so that, you know, if in any case integration makes sense, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So that is one thing about it. I kind of like overcome that by doing it more often, even if that partner tell me like, oh yeah, if I don't want it, it's fine. Talk to my team, Ace. Okay, great. But if in any case they would like to for me to showcase, I'll showcase the most simplest thing, the front end, which is like the demo account, which is not even inside our tech, which is all the back end stuff. So that it's like good enough. They're like, oh, cool. That's really nice. And when that kind of like reaction I've been getting, it makes me feel way more comfortable myself.
Nice.
I mean, all about this is like presentation. You're like public speaking and everybody should have at least have a little bit of that. You're kind of showcasing something. You're working on something. You will have to eventually tell people, what is this you're doing? What are these products and features? And yeah, and that was one of the biggest challenge because again, I would say I came a lot more on the service side. So as a more SaaS and tech, I don't really have that sort of like expertise, right? Or knowledge. And Shopify changes a lot of things. So with that being said, now I feel more confident when I do my demos and I feel a lot more happier and I feel like I know what I'm saying. It's not just like I'm bullshitting and saying something just so that you know what I'm saying.
That, like, thank you, Alicia. Like, thank you. Like, I really want the audience to hone in on two things here. One is you don't know what you don't know, right? Like, and I think that lends itself nicely to a theme that we've talked about, which is like partnership managers. If you're not approaching relationships in like the honesty and transparency mode, you're already at a loss. Like, especially when you're just getting introduced to partners, like, be upfront with them. Like, they might know more about your product than you do. And I think that lends itself so nicely to scaling and just like building that trust environment that you so desperately need. And then the second piece, which I really like, because this is what I've done in both my SaaS partnership journeys, is like in enabling on product or enabling on, you know, positioning and go-to-market skills, you know, there are... And I hone in on this in the telephony space with Just Call, because telephony can be very cumbersome or like very technical, but there are certain features that your partners, and let's just use agency or solutions partners here, they're just not going to care about. And I'll you know, talk about some examples. Like if I'm working with HubSpot agencies and I'm working in a specific product that has kind of like a pseudo feature where I know HubSpot's going to be way more viable in terms of like building that out, I'll tell them that. Like, what I'm not doing is saying this, and this is kind of where you need to take off the sales hat, like, and be more like advisory and consulting. Is like, listen, we have this feature. I knowing your ecosystem, I'm actually going to recommend another solution, right? Like, I want to show you how this feature works, just so you understand and see the value. In the same vein, I'm trying to help prescribe a better solution, knowing that you have access to, you know, XYZ tools. So I'm that one, it makes it way more efficient. Two, you build a lot of trust. And three, you start to really bring in your own kind of like personal and professional voice to it. And I cannot stress enough that like this is where partnership managers, whether you're a partnership manager, you're an enablement, like partnership professionals need to remove the lens of like, I'm advocating for our product versus I'm advocating for the partner here. In most scenarios, like, yes, it's leveraging potentially on your background. Like if you have partnership experience, that's a big positive to entering a new partnership role. But more importantly, you know, like your personality and your professionality is a reason to develop your own brand and your own voice to help make that team, make your role, make your partnership stronger. So completely advocate for yourself. And honestly, like that 2 to 3 month mark is when your voice should be heard.
That leads nicely into the next question. So we're talking about these learnings. And so what helps you hit the ground running? Like what was the main lesson that you're like, okay, been through this before, or I know this is a common pitfall. I know that this is, you know, an error that a lot of partner people make. What were you conscious of when you were starting this role where you're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, you know, make sure that I avoid this thing and allow myself to hit the ground running in this role. So what was that, either from like a specific lesson or just something that you were conscious of entering into this new org?
I love this. So pretty much maintaining like an active and connecting presence in your community, right? When I first started, I really was so scared to like connect with anybody because, you know, you have a profile picture, you have your experiences. I'm like, oh my gosh, these people are way more experienced than I am. Like, who am I? Who are they going to talk to? Me? No way. So that's who I am. I was like probably a partnerships exec. I don't even know if there's that role specifically exists anymore, but I was like, there's no way, like these people are not going to respond to me. So I just tried my best to, this is one part, the crucial tip to avoid is to cold outreach, right? I hate that the most. It's because, you know, you're trying to go and connect with all these CEO founders that you think that would be the best, I guess, the best person to reach out to because they don't have a partnership person. But I think ideally, usually it's between like salesperson or maybe AEs, just because they should know better whether this service applies to their so-called current client or their future client. So things like that. And I was just going around on Twitter, on LinkedIn. I mean, I wasn't that active, but I was just trying to reach out. And imagine for a person who is inactive on LinkedIn, trying to reach out to a bunch of founders and CEOs, and they're like, zero response. It's zero. Even if they were to respond, it's bad. It's so bad. They're like, no, thank you. To me, I'm like, okay, I'll take a pinch of salt, but it's so bad because then what's next to me, right? And right now at this stage, I'm just like, wow, these are some of the lessons that I've learned so much that I still continue doing in my second job. And I'm like, no, this is not working. And I think one really, really bad example was that I didn't ask for help. That was one problem. And I feel like these days, partnerships have so much opportunity to do so. We have people like Will, we have people like Adam, like yourself, Tom, or anyone else. And just to go out and be like, connect with them, follow them, consistently look at their posts. It's always very knowledgeable. And that's where you start reaching out and be like, hey, can I speak to you for 15 minutes and have a chat, learn something? And I didn't do that back in the days. And I was just like, what was I doing? And I just continued doing what I was doing that I thought it was correct. And it never worked. So partnership didn't work for me until I think probably the third year that I saw myself, like there was something growing. There was something that I put a groundwork to it. And I just learned all by myself. And then throughout the way, I also connected with people like, well, with, you know, a little later, I know Will was a little later than that, but a lot of you guys were just somewhat slowly and slowly, I kind of adapted and kind of grew my connection. And I felt like that's great because it's not only going to help partnerships, it's going to help with a lot more like friendship. You can meet them now. You can actually do a lot more things. And if you need a real help, they'll be there. And it's just, I don't know, they're better than friends. I don't have friends. I don't know, guys.
Me neither. No new friends.
No new friends. I can't meet any new friends. So they are our friends.
Two things worth kind of calling out there. One is that we've talked about this in the past, the partnership community is growing, it's strong, but they're also like very willing to help. And like live example of that today, former guest of the podcast, Michael Lantis, you know, we're like very much entwined with Salesforce, getting up on the AppExchange. And just having a call with him today was like the most refreshing, eye-opening experience because he's done that. And all that to say, like, don't shy away from like calling for help or asking for help. And lead with that. Like, hey, you know, Michael, I need help. Like, we need to understand what we're doing. What are your tips? And it was the most, I would say, like, just amazing discussion for 30 minutes. And we walked away with a wealth of knowledge that we didn't know and how we approach it. So point there is like lean on your connections, build new connections, utilize partnerships, the network that you have as a resource, not, you know, like a just there, nice to have. And then the second piece is like, understand that your previous experience, and this is probably tapping into more of like the listeners that have had partnership roles have probably been at a couple companies or at least, you know, two, but partnerships and the foundation of driving successful relationships and partnerships is all roots driven. You know, so like what I carried from Vidyard to SaaS Labs and Just Call still sticks. And so you'll start to develop this rhythm of knowing what's worked in the past and what you need, regardless of the product, regardless of the current program. Like, come in, break down barriers, break down walls to say, like, no, like, my experience has been X, you know, like, especially around process, like automation, just internal tech. Like, don't enter a new company, a new role with just like pushing everything that you've experienced before in the past, because that is where that experience and that knowledge, that professional development is so critical to where you're going now. And I would expect every partner professional to ingrain some aspect of what they know into a new company, into a new program. So kudos to you, Alicia.
Agreed. And we did not pay her to fluff us up and say that we're influencers and all that, but thank you. We're flattered. Alicia, we always leave our listeners with one tactical tip. You talked about a lot today, but what is one that you would leave them with if they asked you, I need one tip to help me? What would that be for a partner manager?
Oh man, that is so, so hard. This is so hard. You're just putting me on this little spotlight. I would just say, okay, follow Tom and Will. But that is true, guys. It's just really building those strong relationship, right? Like, it's not, you're going to lose anything by following these people. I'm just saying, follow them. Make sure that you keep, if you don't want to connect, don't worry about that. Just follow them and look through their contents. It's just going to help you so much more. But, you know, I want everybody to remember this, is that building successful partnerships, it actually takes time and effort. We all know that, right? And this kind of tips that we're laying out today, it's just a strong foundation that we can build through. So, and I think this is a great way to drive mutual, all these like growth and success together.
Agreed. Best way to end it. Well, thank you for being here, sharing your wisdom. And thank you, listeners, for another episode of the Howdy Partners podcast.
See ya, folks.
Bye.